Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, back to Joey's Week in Hockey on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
You know my obsession with Queen, Amy, right?
I do.
Played it in the opener.
Yes.
Love the movie.
Yes.
So I was thinking about this when I was driving down here tonight. They're having a Travis Scott concert over at Enterprise Center.
Yeah.
And I'm driving past the people that are walking to the Travis Scott concert, rocking out to Fat Bottom Girls by Queen in my car. You wouldn't believe the looks that I got from some of the people. I don't think they know what I was listening to. One, it's an inappropriate song, and two, it's Queen, and they're going to see Travis Scott. It just really doesn't mix.
Well, I'm glad you brought this up, because I have a question for you. I, too, saw the people walking to the Travis Scott concert.
Travis Scott concert. Michael Scott. Paper company.
And there was a young couple, a young man and a young woman, and the young man was in a t-shirt. No jacket. I do believe it's 31 degrees outside.
30 degrees, yeah.
The young woman was in a crop top, tank top with no jacket. I'm not sure if these people thought that perhaps the location, St. Louis, is somewhere else, not in the state of Missouri, maybe in Florida, and they showed up for this concert. But they are walking downtown, and they looked like they had been walking for a while. They had that look. What is it that they... Anyway.
Move on from that one. Since we're on the topic of clothing. Since we're on the topic of clothing, this just came to mind. I'll never forget one of the worst dates that I went on. I took a girl to a hockey game, and she showed up in a mini skirt and heels.
At a hockey game. But it's cold at the hockey game.
That's why I told her, and it was freezing outside. And I said, "You sure you want to wear that?" She took that as offensive, which obviously I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
But I said, "I don't think that's smart." And she took that as me calling her an idiot.
Well, yeah.
And she refused to change, went to the game, and then I had to listen to her complain the entire game of, "I'm freezing the entire time.
That's what I don't understand.
It didn't work out, everyone.
No, and that's what I don't understand about this couple. Now, obviously, this couple, they're perfect for each other because neither of them had coats on. But it was 30 degrees and you're in a t-shirt and a tank top. Walking the streets of downtown St. Louis. Put a coat on. I guess people don't wear coats because they want to look cool, but it looks dumb.
When we take that next commercial break, I want to find out what you were trying to say before you filtered yourself on the air. You remembered you needed a job before you finished that sentence, right?
In the words of Dwight Schrute, every time I'm about to do something, I ask myself, would an idiot do that? And if so, I do not do that thing.
Michael Scott always tells me, don't be an idiot. Oh, geez. Well, welcome back to Chili's Week in Hockey. If you stuck through that moment of rambling there, she's Amy. I'm Alex. Happy to be with you till 10 o'clock tonight after the Blues 10-game win streak. Hey, by the way, didn't even tease this because I've been so excited about the win streak. Blues will be in action tomorrow night against the Toronto Maple Leafs. Another tough test. It'll be a 7 o'clock puck drop finally here at Enterprise Center. 6:30 pregame skate on KMOX. And myself and Amy Mark scores, Joey Vitale and Chris Kerber will be along for the broadcast. And, you know, we've talked about what's changed, Amy. We've talked about Vladimir Tarasenko. We've talked about Jordan Binnington. But an area that I feel like we haven't mentioned, which needs to be discussed, is the defensive play. I mean, and I'm specifically talking about the six guys that play on the blue line, but this goes beyond those guys with back checkers in the forward position. But think about the turnaround that Colton Parayko, Jay Bouwmeester, and Alex Pietrangelo have had. Those three players we were destroying at the beginning of the season. Pietrangelo and Parayko were on the trade block. But Bouwmeester, we couldn't wait for him to leave. Now those are your three best defensemen.
And you could argue that at the beginning of the season, Pietrangelo and Bouwmeester were two of your weakest defensemen at that time.
They would even admit that they were your worst defensemen at the beginning of the season. Look, Bomeister, that hip injury, Vitaly's talked about it. That's not easy to come back from. That's your mobility, and obviously it looks like he's gotten back to that. But listen to some of these numbers, Amy. And I did this for the top four defensemen for the Blues in the 10-game win streak. I know the show is just completely numbers, but it's just so impressive to me.
Yeah.
So, Jay Bomeister has played an average of 22 minutes and 30 seconds of ice time in the 10-game win streak. And he has been a plus four. At one point this season, he was like a minus nine. Mm-hmm. He has been a plus four in the last 10 games. Colton Parayko has played the most minutes of anybody in the last 10 games, 23 minutes and 10 seconds average ice time, and he's been a plus nine. And that's not including the Minnesota game. And I'm looking that up right now to find out what he was at the end of that game. He finished that game even. So he's a plus nine in the 10-game win streak. Joel Edmondson, 19 minutes and 30 seconds of ice time. In the last three games, he's been a plus 10. The same for Alex Pietrangelo, a plus 10 in the last three games. Plus minus is such a fickle stat.
Yeah.
But when you look at it on the defensive side, that means Pietrangelo and Edmondson and Parayko have been on the ice for 9 or 10 goals for the Blues in the last three games.
And here is how that sounds, because we're talking about numbers, right? But if you want to put it into application as a fan and you're listening to the radio, start paying attention to this. One, how many times that Curbs calls the Blues taking the puck out of their zone, breaking it out on the rush, and how many times that rush ends with a shot on goal. Notice that for the Blues. The Blues right now during their win streak are number one in chances generated off the rush. And you're going to hear that difference because you're going to hear the Blues carry it over the line, and that whole sentence from Curbs is going to end with a shot on goal. Now flip it the other way and listen to when the opposition carries the puck out of their zone. They are going to be stifled on the rush. We talk about that suffocating play. It's actually fun when you start paying attention to little details of the broadcast and you isolate parts of the game instead of listening to the game as a whole, and you just listen. Every time there's a breakout from the opposition and they're on the rush, listen to how many times you hear that ending with a shot on goal,
yeah,
or you hear it ending with the defense holding the blue line. The Blues right now are allowing the second fewest rush chances against.
It's incredible.
Unbelievable.
It's
and you
incredible.
Can hear it. You can hear it on the radio. I love it. You can hear that those rushes just aren't ending with shots on goal.
It goes back to what Joey Vitale said. They're suffocating the opposition. Mm-hmm. The opposition doesn't even know how to play when the Blues are playing that style of hockey. And I want to get back to the plus minus, but we got Tom waiting on the line. Tom, what's going on tonight?
Thanks for taking my call. I agree a lot with what you're saying, but the bottom line is the Blues have confidence in their goaltending now. That's what turned around the whole thing. Once you have confidence in that back guy, then everything else starts to get better. I don't want to criticize the other goaltender, but it's the goaltending that's made the big difference. You can talk about everything else, but it's goaltending that's turned it around. Thank you for taking my comment.
Tom, appreciate it. I have to disagree with you there. Yes, goaltending has been impressive, and Jordan Binnington has been out of this world. But you go back to the beginning of the season, sure, there were weak goals that were let in, but your team play in front of your goaltender was horrible. It was horrible. You were allowing the most shots of any team in the National Hockey League. And you want to say that the goaltending is the reason that this team has turned things around. It's part of it. But when you look beyond it, Amy, mm-hmm, along with the Carolina Hurricanes in 11 games, I'm sorry, the Blues are on a 10-game win streak. Carolina has played one more game than the Blues in that time frame. Carolina and the Blues have scored the most goals in the National Hockey League. They've scored 40 goals in 10 games. The Blues have allowed 14 goals. That's a plus 26 goal differential.
Yeah.
Put that into consideration with this. The Blues have allowed had 326 shots. They've allowed 271, which is the least amount of shots allowed in a 10 game span. So the goaltending's stopping it, but everybody else playing in front of them are doing their job so that the goaltender's job looks a lot easier right now. So you can say that the goalie has been the difference maker. It's a part of it. But I think what more is the reason this has turned around, Amy, is because of how everyone is playing in front of the goaltender, locking things down.
Yeah, and if you want to go one step beyond that, how everybody's playing, you really do have to give a lot of credit to Craig Berube and how he's got this team playing. But to your point about the saves that Jordan Binnington is making with the type of defense and play he's getting in front of him, Sean Tierney of Charting Hockey, at Charting Hockey on Twitter, put out a great chart. Now, obviously, charts don't translate well on the radio, but basically, it was a chart that compared performance and expectation, and it looked at the hard or difficult shots a goalie was facing and whether or not that goalie made those saves. Now, the best category is the easiest workload for a goalie and his performance. For instance, Devan Dubnyk has a relatively easy workload according to the shots that he's facing, but he's not performing well. He's performing poorly versus expectation. Jordan Binnington is playing so well, and the shots that he's facing are so low on the difficulty chart that Jordan Binnington's name is almost actually physically off this chart, meaning the Blues are giving up the least amount of dangerous shots. The shots they are giving up are relatively easy to save, and Jordan Binnington is stopping all of them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's his name doesn't even fit on this chart.
His name doesn't even fit on his jersey.
Exactly. It's unbelievable. Yes, the Blues are playing great in front of Binnington, and Binnington's stopping every single puck he should, and then some.
Sometimes I crack myself up on Twitter. The NBC just tweeted out because Tampa Bay pulled out a victory tonight, 5-1, and their tweet says, "Can anyone beat the Tampa Bay Lightning? 6 straight wins for Tampa." And I responded with, "The Blues can," and then tweeted out the score of the final score of that game.
Boom.
Suck it, NBC. One more before we take a quick break. You look around the West, Amy, and you sent this to me during postgame the other night of what the Central Division teams have done while the Blues have gone on a 10-game win streak. And listen to some of these numbers, not only in the Central, but just in the West. So 10 games in a row for the Blues.
Yeah.
Winnipeg's 5-3-2. Nashville 5-4-1. Calgary 5-3-2. Vegas 3-7. Dallas 6-3-1, Minnesota 2-5-3, Vancouver 3-6-1, Colorado 1-6-3. The only two teams that are comparable to what the Blues have done are the San Jose Sharks and the Chicago Blackhawks. San Jose has gone 7-3, Chicago has gone 8-2. But even those teams don't have a winning streak like the Blues do. It's incredible how at one point this season, you would look at the schedule in February and say, boy, games back-to-backs against Nashville, then Tampa, then Florida, then Colorado, then Minnesota. I mean, we would have said that they'd be lucky to pull out 4 points from that. But they're running these teams over. It was so bad for Colorado, Amy, that they had to break up their top line. They broke up Rantanen, McKinnon, and Landeskog because the Blues suffocated them so much.
You know, in this last victory, I have to say that I channeled my inner Coach Riley, who coached the Hawks against the Mighty Ducks. If you remember this, my Mighty Ducks encyclopedia.
All you have are Mighty Ducks encyclopedia.
And all I could think of, I was literally chanting, "It's not worth winning if you can't win big."
That's what 2-week hiatus is for Amy Mark scores.
It's arrogance, folks. I'm arrogant. We've won 10 in a row.
Well, we got a trade deadline moving closer and closer, and the Blues may be a team that a lot of people question, well, what's going to happen? But what about some of the other teams? There are some big names out there on the market that could be heading to the West. We'll talk about it next on Chili's Week in Hockey.
Now, more of Chili's Week in Hockey on your voice of the St. Louis Blues, KMOX.
Back in on a Monday night, Alex and Amy with you. Day off for the Blues as they'll take on the Toronto Maple Leafs tomorrow night. And we'll talk Toronto Maple Leafs and that crazy Austin Matthews contract coming up in our next segment because that may be a new trend in the NHL. Heck, it may be a new trend in sports for a little loophole for teams to find a way to keep their high-scoring players on their roster without having to spend so much money. So we'll get into that in our next segment. Also, can't wait for What's Up With That tonight. I don't even know if we're going to have more than one, because the biggest What's Up With That is Don Cherry right now. And if you haven't heard or seen what took place with Don Cherry and the Carolina Hurricanes, well, buckle up, folks, because I think...
It's Don Cherry.
Yeah, well, myself and Amy may rip a hole into Don Cherry after what he said. So we'll get into that as well. But look, we got the trade deadline inching closer and closer as it's February 25th. So a week from today. Boy, I didn't even realize that. A week from today is when the trade deadline hits at 3 p.m. Eastern time. So
that did creep up fast.
It did, didn't it? I guess because usually it's at the beginning of March, and now obviously they're doing it in February. But let's answer the first question that I know is on the mind of Blues fans, and that is what this Blues team is going to do. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of cap space. You don't have a first-round draft pick. And let's be honest, why would you want to make a trade for a guy who would be fighting for ice time? I mean, you don't even have David Perron in your lineup. Yeah. No. Robbie Fabry was out 10 games. Alexander Steen left and Fabry got into the lineup. And you still have Sammy Blais and Jordan Kyrou in the minors. So I know people keep asking, can they make a deal? Will they make a deal? Should they make a deal? My personal opinion, no.
No.
You're on a 10-game win streak. David Perron's going to be your trade deadline acquisition. Your defense is playing great. Goaltending's not an issue. I don't think you really need to mess with the trade deadline right now.
No, and I know this isn't how it works, but I feel like Doug Armstrong made his trade deadline trades over the summer.
Yeah, he did.
He went all out. This right now, I'm constructing a team that I want to make a run for the cup. Not just get into the playoffs, but make a run for the cup. Now, that narrative changed a little bit among fans and Blues fans because of the rough start to the season, and you're thinking, well, something needs to be done. This isn't working. The ingredients aren't working. You're not getting the result you need. Well, now they are, and how quickly things change. Don't touch it. I mean, we're talking about not even touching the lineup when guys are healthy, much less swapping out some players.
I think if you were to look for one thing that you'd want for a trade deadline acquisition, is you want someone with term. You're not going for a rental player here if you're the Blues. You don't want to get a guy for 3 months and then have him walk. And I think, if anything, you're going to look at your defense, because Carl Gunnarsson is still injured, or injured again, although that's day-to-day, because when he went on the injured reserve, it was retroactive for when he was hurt, so he could come back whenever. But Jay Bouwmeester is an unrestricted free agent, mm-hmm. and despite his great play, I don't see the Blues bringing him back, which means you have two holes to fill and not a lot of depth on D. So if you're looking big picture here, if you can find a defenseman who can be a power play quarterback for you.
And I've heard that, and that's interesting to me, because you have Petro, you have Parayko, and you have Dunn, who's growing into that
Dunn
role.
Is, but let's be honest, Petrangelo is not a quarterback on the power play. Petrangelo is a weapon, but I don't think he's a quarterback. I think Petrangelo, he struggles to keep the puck moving. Like, I envision what Kevin Shattenkirk did. Kevin Shattenkirk had so much success in terms of getting guys to the places they need and getting the puck to them quick. And no disrespect to Petro, but he just hasn't had that success on the power play. I'm thinking like a Justin Falk from Carolina, who I don't know why the heck the Carolina Hurricanes would make a trade, because they're only a point away from the playoffs. Or, you know, maybe a Dougie Hamilton, but I don't see that happening because he was just traded and he's on Carolina as well. That would be my only hole for them to fill. But then you take into consideration the cap situation for the Blues. And if I'm not mistaken, you don't have a lot of cap
money. You'd have to make a hockey trade.
Yes, that's the only way it's happening.
You'd have to make a big contract.
$1.1 million is what you have.
Yeah, that's nothing. That's not going to get you a power play specialist, a defenseman who can man the blue line, quarterback a power play, and be the guy that you want to help you go deeper into the playoffs. You're not going to get that for $1 million. So now you're talking a hockey trade. Now you're talking swapping out big contracts.
And again, you bring a defenseman in, who are you sitting? I'm not taking Bortuzzo out of this lineup.
No.
Not taking Dunn. Not taking Edmondson. So I don't think it's in the cards for the Blues to make a deal. I think it may be an off-season situation again where they look to upgrade. And why not run with what you have? If you lose three games by the time the trade deadline rolls around, then maybe you think about trying to find an upgrade somewhere. But I don't see that being a difference for the Blues team. So now that we've laid that out with the Blues, let's be honest here, Amy. There are a lot of significant names on the market that could be moved.
Yep.
Guys like Artemi Panarin. Guys like Sergei Bobrovsky. Guys like Mark Stone.
Well, and Darren Dredger.
I think it's Dredger.
Excuse me, I'm joking.
Jeez. Are you going to go back to bedridden for the next 2 weeks?
No, I'm almost dying again. Stated that the Ottawa Senators plan on trading Matt Duchene. Like, they plan on it. Unless something goes wrong, they're getting rid of Matt Duchene. That's in the cards for them.
And they're trying to work out an extension with Stone, correct?
Well, here's the thing. The Winnipeg Jets not only are interested in Matt Duchene, according to the trade rumor mill, but they're also interested in Stone.
That's a big deal. The Central Division and the Boston Bruins are the teams to me that will be making some type of move. And I say Central Division, I think the Nashville Predators are going to land somebody. And I was reading a couple of the rumors, and it looked like they're making a hard push for Matt Duchene as well. So you would have a Kyle Turris, a Nick Bonino, a Matt Duchene, and a Ryan Johansson, which would make that team a lot more elite.
Yeah.
And then take into consideration,
and the Jets got Matt Duchene.
Look what they did with Paul Stastny last year, and they got Duchene, although the Jets seem to never be able to get out of their own way in the playoffs. But then let's talk about the Blue Jackets. 69 points. Pittsburgh is tied with you in points. Montreal is tied with you in points. So you're basically holding on to third place in the Central Division if you're Columbus, but you're also a point away from being out of the playoffs, and you have two unrestricted free agents that have made it clear that they don't want to remain in Columbus. Now, Panarin said he's going to wait to work things out in the offseason.
And he did fire his controversial agent.
And he's with an agent that
is Bobrovsky's
agent. Yeah. Yep. So that looks like it could be a dual pair. And that may be the biggest upgrade for a team when it comes to a playoff push right now. When you think of those two names that could be moved.
A couple of names that may be moved and you are thinking about, as you mentioned, I know the Boston Bruins are looking for an offensive spark. The Florida Panthers could trade Mike Hoffman or Jonathan Huberdeau.
Huberdeau! That would be surprising to me too, but those guys haven't fit. Hoffman would be surprising because they made the deal in the offseason for him, and he's been a weapon for him. Now, Huberdeau is a little different. I could see that, but boy, it would be strange for them to move a player like that. But then you have also a guy like Wayne Simmonds from Philly that could be on the move. You have a Marcus Johansson from the New Jersey Devils that could be on the move. And I don't think the Anaheim Ducks are making a move. I don't think the Edmonton Oilers are making a move.
What do you think about this? And this is according to The Athletic, that the Minnesota Wild technically trade anyone from Eric Staal to Ryan Suter to Zach Parise. Do you see them doing that? Now, they've made the playoffs, 6 years in a row?
Yeah.
And have petered out.
That's a good point because Tom Reed, the analyst for the Minnesota Wild, told me that they're borderline of shipping out players.
Yep.
And you have to ship out players if you're in this rut where you get in the playoffs but you can't win.
But now they only have a week to make that decision of are we...
I think they've been trying to make the decision. Once Mikko Koivu went down and Matt Dumba went down, they've been having them. I think they know where they're at, which is surprising because Bruce Boudreau opened up his mouth and guaranteed them making the playoffs and making some noise. But I don't see Parise or Suter getting moved. That's too big a contract somebody doesn't want to take on. But yeah, Eric Staal's a rental. Charlie Coyle is another guy that I think could be a nice acquisition for some people. Maybe a Michael Granlund, maybe a Jared Spurgeon. The Minnesota Wild could blow things up in the West.
They really could.
Yeah.
I mean, the amount of skill and talent on that team, those would be big name trades. You have a whole handful of big name trades you could make.
I'm just saying, in terms of the West competition and for how much we're talking about a 10-game win streak in the playoffs, you have to be prepared for Winnipeg, Nashville, Calgary, San Jose, all to make their team that much better. And if they make their team better, it's going to make things a lot more difficult in the West. And it looks more likely that the West is going to find ways to make deals than the East to make deals. Because if you look at it, Pittsburgh salary capped, Tampa salary capped, you know, maybe the Islanders find a way to make a deal. Washington salary capped, and Boston, maybe the only other team. You know, Toronto's not making any moves. So it looks like the West may be the teams that are getting these rental players. And to think that a Matt Duchene or an Artemi Panarin could come into the West in the stretch run of the season is kind of scary.
Yeah, it is, especially on those teams that there's, I know it's obvious, but if you talk about the Jets bringing in a high-profile player like that, or a Predators team bringing in a high-profile player, this is their moment saying the window is open, and you already know they're cup contenders. But when you have a team that's already a true cup contender, not just a competitive team, but a true contender, and they bring in and make that big hockey trade, it's scary because that's the team that's saying we're going all in.
Well, a team that won't be making a hockey trade are the Toronto Maple Leafs after what they've done this season in terms of signing Nylander, signing Austin Matthews. And that contract for Austin Matthews, folks, maybe you should get used to it because we may start seeing it in the NHL more. We'll hit on that next on Chili's Week in Hockey.
Now, back to Chili's Week in Hockey on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Well, we could be looking at a new trend in the NHL, Amy. Austin Matthews, the beginning of February, signed a contract extension, which, one, surprised me. I didn't think he was going to re-sign in Toronto. I thought he was. I thought he was going to go to Arizona. But
I never thought he was
staying there. A 5-year contract extension for a little over $11.5 million. But here's the kicker: 93% of his contract he signed was a signing bonus. Think about that for a minute. 7% of his 59 million dollar contract, 7% of that was or is going to be over the length of his contract. He was paid 93% up front. You talk about finding the biggest loophole possible to keep a super team together. Well, Kyle Dubas just found it.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised the NHL was cool with it.
So that first year of his salary, $15 million of it is signing bonuses. And the actual salary will be $700,000. I believe that's for the
They
first
just
year.
Found a way. And I think other teams will mimic this, of finding a way to keep super teams together. I mean, this is like NBA-esque of trying to put teams together and moving salary around to make sure that you could keep everyone together. Because there's no way that they should be able to do this. Because you've got Tavares signed for a long period of time. Nylander signed. Now you have Matthews. You need to re-sign Marner. Jake Garner is an unrestricted free agent. You just brought in Jake Muzzin. I don't know how that's okay in the eyes of the NHL.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, they've...
Or why more GMs aren't pissed off about it.
He's basically, with the signing bonuses, the first two seasons, right, will be $15.2 million.
Yeah.
The first two seasons.
So that's what, $15.2 per season?
Yeah.
Wow.
Then $9.7 million in his third year and $7.2 million in each of the final two years.
And those
years.
Are his signing bonuses.
Yes.
So that's not his contract, though.
Those are his signing bonuses.
So say those numbers again.
A signing bonus of $15.2 million for each of the first two
seasons.
That's
30.4.
9.7 in his third year.
39.41.
7.2 in each of the final 2 years.
$55 million. There you go.
So then the base salary in years 1 and 2 will be $700,000. And his base salary for the final 3 years will be $750,000.
I'm sorry, that just shouldn't...
It feels illegal.
This feels like it's illegal right now. Like, it just feels like it's not fair. Like, what do you think some of these other teams are going to be thinking now that had to move, that had to walk away from free agents because they couldn't keep them in there? Because I think that's the first time that that's happened in terms of that much money for signing bonuses.
But I mean, it still counts towards the salary cap.
Right, but it's moving money around.
It is moving money around.
Like you're paying it all up front.
You're repackaging it.
So that because the salary cap is what's based on there. Like it counts against it, but you're still moving it all around so that 1 year you could bring in a guy who makes a lot of money in 1 year because that guy's just getting the signing bonuses, right?
Yeah. I mean, Kyle Dubas is a genius.
So I'll say this then. Is Nikita Kucherov
human?
That's a question for another time. Is he under contract? Like, did he get an extension or is he due an extension? Nikita Kucherov, pulling it up right now. Oh, they re-signed him. He's $9.5 million next year. And he signed for the next 6 years starting next year. So I was just thinking in my head because he was due an extension after this year. Could you imagine if Tampa didn't sign him that extension and saw it and were like, oh, hell yeah, we could give this guy signing bonuses and get away with this.
Here's the thing. And I know we're going to talk about Kucherov in the next segment. He's 25. He's 25 and he's putting up numbers. And I'll tell you what the numbers are in the next segment that are reminiscent of Mario Lemieux and Yamir Yager in the 90s.
How about that company?
He's doing that in modern NHL.
How about that company to be in? We'll come back with what's up with that next on Chili's Week in Hockey.
Now, what's up with that on Chili's Week in Hockey?
What's up
on KMOX?
What's up with that? What's up with that? What's up with that?
What is up with Nikita Kucherov? So, coming into tonight, he had a pretty impressive, his stats are pretty impressive,
pretty
you could
impressive.
Say. You know, 59 games.
Me finishing a pizza by myself is pretty impressive.
94 points. He scored 5 points tonight. 5 points, 2 goals and 3 assists as the Tampa Bay beat the Columbus Blue Jackets 5-1, which means Kucherov has 99 points in 60 games. The last players to have 99 points in 60 games were Mario Lemieux and Yamir Yager, who did it in 1995-96.
I just looked up on Google how to say the machine in Russian.
Uh-huh.
Let's see if it works. Probably not going to work on me now. Oh.
He is a machine.
I just wanted to find out how to say it in Russian because I was going to start calling Tarasenko that on postgame, but Kucherov is more of a machine than Tarasenko is a machine right
He's
now.
He's got 99 points. And yes.
Plain and simple.
That's it.
There's nothing else to say.
This guy, and he's 25 years old.
Well, I'll take that machine and I'll follow it up with the machine in Chicago right now. Patrick Kane, and I know Blackhawks, our Blues fans just cringed when I said that name, but guys, he's got an 18-game point streak.
Jeez.
He continued the point streak in the first 2 minutes of the hockey game tonight, which doesn't really say much because right now there have been 13 goals scored in the Senators Blackhawks game, and there's still over half of a period to be played.
You get a goal, and get a goal.
This is Oprah throwing goals at everybody. But listen to this right now. So Blackhawks and Kane, an 18-game point streak, but Mark Lazarus put this out. This is the 14th time in 60 games that the Blackhawks have given up at least 5 goals. And they're about to be 1 point out of a playoff spot.
That's it?
Yeah. I know.
It's like the Western Conference does not let people go. They
really
want to keep you in a playoff
The Western
fight.
Conference is just that clingy girlfriend that's just like, hey, I still think about you.
And she's like, you should really let him go.
Yeah.
Like, he's given up so many goals in the past 14 games.
Great common white girl noise. You know what's even weirder? Edmonton and L.A. are only 7 and 8 points out of a playoff spot.
Yeah.
The worst team in your conference is 4 victories away from being in the playoffs. What the heck is happening right now?
Well, and what the heck is happening then on the Eastern Conference on the flip side? Guys, the Tampa Bay Lightning are sitting on 94 points right now. They have a very real shot at reaching 100 points before the trade deadline. 100 points before the trade deadline. They've got 94 points in 60 games. The second place team In the NHL, the Calgary Flames, they've got 79 points. It's not even close.
It's not even fair. It's really just not even fair, Tampa Bay.
This is record-setting pace for the Tampa Bay Lightning.
But again, they can never find a way to win in the playoffs, though. It always comes back to haunt them. Before we get to our Don Cherry one, give me the Edmonton Oilers. What's up with that you have?
Okay, the Edmonton Oilers.
This is amazing, everyone.
You know, Alex Ovechkin, he's leading the league in goals with 40 goals. Not a big surprise. Jeff Skinner of Buffalo.
Yes.
Number two with 36. Great season. Number three, Alex Ferrario, is Leon Draisaitl. Yes, that Leon Draisaitl with the Edmonton Oilers. 35 goals.
What? No, that's... Are you sure that's not over the last 3 years?
I think somehow... I think I typed in the wrong parameters for this search.
I think that might be in the
somehow,
German league.
Leon Draisaitl has notched 35 goals for
that's
the Edmonton Oilers.
That's incredible to me because like Kucherov, you know, Kucherov's starting to be talked about now, but at one point he wasn't even discussed.
Yeah.
I don't even think I've heard Draisaitl's name this season.
I don't think I have either.
And the dude has 35 freaking goals.
It's unbelievable.
Wow. All right. You want to talk about unbelievable. It's Don Cherry's comments about the Carolina Hurricanes. We all know Carolina likes to celebrate in a very unique fashion, whether it's the slow Viking-style clap in the middle of the ice after a victory, or like we saw the other night where they win and then they mimic a baseball game at center ice, yeah, where one guy throws a fake puck, one guy swings the stick, watches it go, runs the bases. Well, we all enjoy it because they're having fun, but this old man Rivers does not.
So why are you mad at
Carolina? All right, now listen, let's listen. This is the National Hockey League. Brendan Moore is a good coach. These guys, to me, are jerks.
Okay, everyone remember that word, jerks.
You have to do this in the National. They're still not drawn. This is to me, and I'll tell you one thing. They better not do this in the playoff. What I don't understand is Brendan Moore is a straight shooter. He always was. This is a joke. The rest of the guys, young men expressing themselves for joy of winning. You don't do this thing in the net. It's professional hockey. One of these guys are jerks or something. And I'll tell you one thing. They do this in the playoffs, making fun of the other team.
But nobody's out on the ice. The game's over. I admit, I always liked your theory of when you celebrate when you win only. That's why you liked Muhammad Ali, whereas Sugar Ray Leonard did the
before. Struggle. Now, you don't. If you want to do it before. But that is absolutely ridiculous. I know the rest of the people. I know all the broadcasters and everything are afraid to say something like that. They're jerks doing it.
I kind of like it.
I know you. Well, you're lucky. The weatherman, you know what I mean? I know what I'm talking about. You never do anything like that. They're still not drawn. They're a bunch of jerks as far as I'm concerned. Imagine Justin Williams doing stuff like that.
He called him a jerk four times, but this guy is losing his mind over these guys having fun.
Yeah.
And none of his points make sense.
Well, because he doesn't finish a sentence. And then at the end saying, imagine Justin Williams doing something like that.
We just watched
He's on the team.
Like he's saying that they're making fun of the other team. Well, the other team's in the locker room by now. He's saying that they're being disrespectful. Well, how are they being disrespectful? And then the best part, he says, well, they could do this before the game, but not after. That's not disrespectful. Just let them stand on the ice and make fun of the other team while they're warming up. Like, dude, relax.
How do you celebrate and dance before a game? Like, what would you be thinking? What is the coach thinking? What are the fans thinking? And then if you lose that game, they'll be like, yeah, because they were playing baseball on the ice before the game.
My question is, what is the difference between this than when the Blues win and they all skate to the center of the ice and they hold their sticks up and applaud? What's the difference?
Well, I think in Don Cherry's mind, it's orchestrated. It's juvenile. They're focusing too much energy on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
The wedding topper of this point that I'm trying to make.
Yeah.
Hey, Don, how about you take your flamboyant suits off of television where you're trying to show everyone else up on television, or you're doing the same thing the Carolina Hurricanes are doing. And what made this even better was Carolina changed their profile logo on Twitter that said the bunch of jerks that have fun, and they're selling t-shirts now that say bunch of jerks.
I mean, honestly, I kind of want a shirt. It's amazing.
I did too. I want them to...
It's Eastern Conference.
I want them to go to the Stanley Cup Finals just so Don Cherry has to watch this team continue to have fun all season long. I love it.
the Blues could face the Hurricanes in the Stanley Cup Finals, and then we could refer to them as a bunch of jerks the whole time.
I loved that so much, the rant. That was such the old man get off of my lawn rant, and the dude was just so upset he called them jerks four times.
And was he wearing a lizard suit?
Yeah, he was wearing a lizard suit.
Yeah. The guy is crazy. I know he's legendary.
Bunch of jerks.
All right. Other team.
Hey, just so everyone is aware, Blackhawks and Ottawa game isn't over yet. Ottawa just scored. It's 8-6 with 8 minutes left to go.
Are you serious? It's a real barn burner.
It is a barn burner out there. All right, well, that's going to wrap it up for us tonight on Chili's Week in Hockey. We'll be back with you next Monday from 8 to 10 o'clock. But again, the Blues in action tomorrow night against the Toronto Maple Leafs. Wow. I need to stop talking for the rest of the evening. It's the Maple Leafs rolling into town. It's a 7 o'clock puck drop. We'll have your pregame skate getting underway at 6:30. Amy, we get to see Auston Matthews and John Tavares and Mitch Marner. Who else are you excited for?
Oh, well, it's a heck of a day to be a Blues fan, and I'm excited to see a point streak continue for Tarasenko.
Going for that big number 11. By the way, 17, the league record for most consecutive wins. Let's keep inching towards that big number 17. Amy, we'll talk to you Monday.
Sounds good.
We'll talk to you all tomorrow night. Blues and Maple Leafs right here on KMOX.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, oh.